Good afternoon. I'm Valerie Jarrett, Senior Advisor to President Barack Obama. I'm just so delighted to be here with Vice President Biden, with Lynn Rosenthal, and with all of you. I will have to tell you a story. The first meeting I had with Evan Ryan during the transition and the Vice President, we talked about this day and how we were going to be so excited to have all of the advocates together here with us to talk about an issue that is so fundamentally important, not just to women, but to everybody across our country and, in fact, the world. A few months ago, President Obama named me as chair of the White House Council on Women and Girls, and our executive director, Tina Chin, who's sitting in the front row, Tina, wave, together, my partner. We're committed to working with our council, which is an interagency task force made up of all of the agencies in the federal government, senior people from each agency, and our mission is simple. It's to look at the issues that face women and girls in our country and, in fact, internationally, because the State Department works closely with us as well, and figure out what we can do to enhance the quality of life for women and girls, because as we all know, go by the happiness of women and girls, it affects the entire family, in fact, everyone. And so one of our fundamental issues is domestic violence. And so you can imagine how delighted I am then to have one of the strongest advocates in the world right here, our Vice President, who not only, thank you, who not only authored the 1994 Violence Against Women Act, but has been a champion throughout his time in the Senate. Each and every day he focuses on this issue. We had a pre-meeting before we came over here, and he got passionate and excited all over again because he knows really in all seriousness how important this issue is and how working together with each and every one of you who's here today and who's listening throughout throughout television land, we can make some progress in this area. And so I'm so proud to have the pleasure and honor of introducing the Vice President of the United States. Please join me in welcoming Vice President Joe Biden.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, let me start by thanking Valerie. And, I think Valerie's, and I get in trouble for saying this, but I'm already in trouble, so I'll say it again. I think Valerie's the single best asset we have in the White House. And I tell you why. The obvious things, you see how bright she is, how accomplished she is. But, she has the absolute, total, complete confidence of the President of the United States of America. And that is a big, big, big deal in any administration. And I not only have become friends with Valerie, I admired her, but we've become friends. I really do think it's important that you all understand that her influence relates to the fact that she is trusted by all of us. She's completely trusted by all of us. And she is the President, I think, if he wants what he believes to be what the most unvarnished, candid opinion and the best assessment of a circumstance, he turns to Valerie. And he really does. I've watched it. I've seen it. And that's a tremendous asset, for all of us. I really should start by saying, welcome back to the White House. welcome back. I won't identify any of you because I've been around so long. I know you don't want to be identified of knowing me as long as some of you have. It's a telling thing. But I look around this room, and I've had so many allies in this room, and you've taught me so much. And I mean that literally. You've taught me so much over the last three decades of my engagement in this issue and other issues. And, I'll introduce people in a minute when we sit down at the round table, but let me just start off by saying that what I'm about to say is not a knock or a criticism on the last administration or anybody else. But the truth of the matter is that I was saying in our pre-meeting here that there are sins of commission and sins of omission. One of the sins of omission is this has not been a front and center issue for the last 8 years on the national agenda. It used to be. It used to be. When you guys passed the Violence Against Women Act, it was. And it was, got off to a roaring start. And as you all recall, we were able to make incredible inroads in the corporate world, changing attitudes, incredible inroads with law enforcement officers, with judges, across the board. And so I'm here to tell you that when the president, there was only two things the president at the front end basically said, you know, asked me what I want, what would I want to have some direct control over and be the source of the recommendations for who fills the various jobs. And the two things I asked were to deal with law enforcement and to deal with violence against women. Because quite frankly, I think they intersect in a way that requires just constant attention. And so I'm really delighted to be here with the woman I'm about to introduce. It's exciting to be surrounded by so many strong advocates. Ellie, it's great to see you. You know, we sat at a table like this a couple years ago when you finally said, hey, what are we doing? Why don't we pass this thing? I love this woman. You ought to thank her. That's the reason why this thing happened. You know, and we've worked with an awful lot of you, as I said, for years. And to announce the first ever White House advisor on violence against women is, it's, it'd be an exaggeration to say a dream come true, but an ambition, a desire that has come true. So for many of you, in fact, all of you probably know Lynn. I don't think there's anybody here who probably doesn't know Lynn. As you all know, she's dedicated her career to dealing with domestic violence and sexual assault, but it's her passion, and not that I'm ever impacted by passion, but it's her passion that is, I think, her most important qualification for this job. Because I really think it's more, we have to be passionate about what we're doing. That's the thing that's going to awaken the sensibilities, as my mom would say, the sensibilities in the American people. And so, you know, when I told Lynn when I offered her the job, and that's a presumption to say I offered. The president asked me, gave me the authority to, how can I say this? Anyway, when when we talked about the job, I told her that the president and I wanted someone who would wake up every single day and go to bed every night, literally, not figuratively, thinking about what am I going to do today and what am I going to do tomorrow to deal with this awful scourge referred to as violence against women. And I am absolutely convinced from years of working with Lynn that it's not only in her head, but it's in her heart, in her gut. Because I've learned from like Louisa Terrell over there, who's a great prosecutor and worked for me. I've learned over the years, working in this with so many incredible women, that this is not something where you can, in fact, park your passion at the door. You've got to feel it. Because this is such hard work that so many of you are doing. You know, many of you have heard me say it before, but my father was the one who taught me that the single most serious sin a man or woman can commit is to abuse power. And the ultimate abuse of power is violence against women. And it has such incredible negative ramifications for generations that follow. You all know the numbers. The vast majority of men that are in prison behind bars for having committed a violent crime, they only have two things in common, basically. One, they can't read, and two, they witnessed their mother being abused or they were abused themselves. It's totally counterintuitive to people not in the field, but they think, God Almighty, if you saw your mother being abused, the last thing you would do. But it's a learned behavior. And so if we want to fundamentally impact on violence in America, if you could wave a wand, if God came down and said, Joe, you get one wish, I'd say end violence against women, not just because I find it so repugnant, but because it'd have the single most significant impact on violence in America against all people, against men, against women, against children. So it's incredibly consequential what you and Lynn now are going to be honchoing here. Lynn has built a 30-year career around the simple message, there can be no excuses, none for domestic violence, none. Some of you remember, have been around with me for a while, how much trouble I got in a hearing where I said, no man has a right under any circumstance ever to raise his hand to a woman other than self-defense, none. So we got to, Lynn starts off with the proposition that this isn't a negotiable thing. There isn't some violence that's permissible. There isn't some pushing or shoving or intimidation. It's just simply never justified. And Lynn's work with Valerie and the Domestic Policy Council, and this is a woman who's taken this to a new place. I mean, Valerie's as passionate about this as we are, but she has the whole panoply of issues affecting women, everything from women's health to these violence issues across the board and for young girls as well. And so this is one heck of a team. I'm getting better, Val. I'm getting better. That's why I'm supposed to stick to the prompter. But you know, I can't. You know me too well. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. But look, you all know the numbers. 1 in 4 women are affected by violence in their home. And you know, our goal is to bring that literally to 0 in 4. We know we can't get it perfect, but that has to be the goal. That has to be the measure by which we measure ourselves, because if we don't, we'll get to a point where we think we're making progress and think we can step back. It has to be the goal. You know, you're going to find that, and again, so many of you have worked with Lynn, that she'll serve as a vital coordinator between the Department of Justice and HHS and the State Department and the Veterans Department and all these departments, which in fact can do so much just by refocusing like they did in the Clinton administration, you know, to make sure that domestic violence and sexual assault are on the top of the agenda. This, look, what we basically have to do, in my opinion, but I'm going to hear what you all have to say in this round table, well, this U table here, but, you know, on this round table, is literally, I think the first thing we got to do is just put this back in play. Just get it up on the agenda. Get every secretary in the cabinet thinking about it. These are good women and men the president has appointed. They'll want to embrace this. And we're looking for Lynn, through Valerie's help, to make sure that we focus them. We get their attention back on this, back on it as a priority for this administration and for the United States. So, Lynn, I'm happy to say that you responded directly to me and to the president when I asked you. I was worried you may say, I was worried she may say, Joe, or, you know, we've been doing this a long time. But, you know, each year America reports 48 million incidents of violence that can be, that are as a consequence of coming from an intimate partner. And, you know, 48 million, think about that. You know, this is a scary part. We don't even know how many more million are never reported. Now, the one good thing about bringing this out of the shadows, this dirty little secret, is more and more and more and more women are coming forward. I told Ellie last time I saw her, which has been too long now, a couple months, that there's literally to this day, there's not a city or a state or a place I go in, and Carol's been with me and watched it, where a woman doesn't come up to me, usually a woman my age, who walks up and quietly, or in a rope line as I'm going down, and whispers in my ear, says, thank you, thank you. I just wish it had been around when I was younger. But thank you, thank you. The worst imprisonment in the world is being imprisoned in your own home. The most vicious of all crimes are, quote, domestic crimes. And I know Lynn feels that way, and that's why I was so proud on behalf of the president to be able to offer the job. You know, household violence also costs the country a lot. It costs us $4 billion a year in medical expenses. But, you know, that's a chump change compared to the personal cost. And most of you know from experience just how taking care of women and taking care of victims, just how just how difficult it is. You know, Lynn's experience on a national level as executive director of the National Network to End Domestic Violence is going to serve her incredibly well here. On a state level, Lynn herself has led two of those coalitions, one in Florida, one in New Mexico. Most recently, she drew up a comprehensive plan to rehouse Floridians who are otherwise would have had to return to an abusive home. And she's been in the trenches. She's been director of battered women's shelters. I mean, God, for those of you, as you've heard me say before, as my mother would say, they're doing God's work, man. You see it every day. I don't know how people deal with it. It's just amazing. But she's done it. She's actually done it. So she gets it that shelters need to be supported more than bake sales or, you know, good intentions. And Lynn also shares something in common with me. We both defined our careers by the Violence Against Women Act. Lynn helped along with the reauthorization in 2000 and in 2005, and she's won multiple awards, as well as my gratitude and the gratitude of millions of people in this field who have been victims as well, for the tireless work she's done for so long. Writing the original Violence Against Women Act in 94 was the proudest accomplishment of my public career, but I did not write that alone. I wrote that with many of you sitting at this table. I wrote that with many of you here. You shaped it for me. You educated me. You helped me do the hearings. You got it done. And it would never happen but for all of you in this room. And with Lynn's help, at that time, it made a real difference. She was 4 years old when she was doing it. since she was a prodigy. But since 94, the Violence Against Women Act has had a significant impact. And in terms of, we don't know what's not reported, but the reported crisis has decreased 60%. This is a big deal. But Lynn was an executive director of the National Network to Reduce Domestic Violence. For nothing, she and her new bosses will not rest until we end domestic violence in the home and once and for all make it a national priority again. And so, folks, I want to thank Lynn for being willing to take on this job. We sat in what was going to be just a little meeting about how we were going to conduct today, and I found myself already. I gave her an assignment, and Valerie's looking at me like, "Give her a break. let her get on the job." So, Lynn, I love you for being willing to do this, and this is your team here, man. Because although they're not in the payroll, they're all the reasons that it's going to happen. So, thank you, Lynn.
Thank you. I still just love to say Vice President Biden, so thank you. I am deeply humbled and honored by your faith in me, but most of all, Mr. Vice President, by your many years of commitment to addressing violence against women. Your report in 1991, A Week in the Life of American Women, profoundly influenced my own personal commitment to our mutual cause. And I've often heard you say that when you met the people in this room, those working in shelters and hotlines and state coalitions, that you really found your partnership and your allies for the Violence Against Women Act. So it's very nice to be among friends. I know that the Violence Against Women Act works because I've seen it in communities all across this country. I've seen what happens when a police chief steps forward and takes leadership. I've seen what happens when a judge sends a victim down the hall to meet with an advocate to learn more about our options. I've seen what happens when victim advocates and law enforcement officers and prosecutors sit down at the table to write protocols for responding to domestic violence and sexual assault. And I know, Mr. Vice President, because of your work and that of everyone in this room, literally thousands of victims have come forward seeking help. But I also know that still today, our shelters are full, our hotlines are ringing, the high rates of violence against Native women remain profoundly disturbing, and our investment in addressing sexual violence has really only just begun. Today truly is a great day for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault because today they know that this White House cares so deeply about them, their families,
and their communities. So I am looking forward to working very closely with you, Mr. Vice President, with Ms. Jarrett and the White House Women's Council, and with everyone who is here today to step forward, seize this remarkable moment in time, and begin with renewed commitment. So thank you all so very much. Thank you so much.